Good morning. My name is Karen Butler. I'm on the faculty at the University of Kentucky College of Nursing. I'm also a faculty associate in the Tobacco Policy Research Program there. If you're interested in our university or opportunities, we have information in the back of the room. Little commercial. Really happy to be here today to talk to you about this project. It's one that we're just finishing up and one that we're really excited about. The title is Promoting Healthy Behaviors in a Rural Community Using Culturally Sensitive Smoking Cessation Outreach Strategies. And we do have to make sure that, there we go. My disclosure statement, you can read. So the purpose of this study was to look at the fidelity, acceptability, practicality, effectiveness, and reach of culturally sensitive interventions to motivate smokers in a rural community in our state to participate in tobacco dependence treatment. Just a little bit of background, and those of you who work with tobacco will probably know most of this already. Tobacco use and exposure to secondhand smoke is the leading preventable cause of disease and death in the United States, with more than 500,000 deaths every year. About 20% of the U.S. adult population are smokers. We had a little bit of a decline in adult smoking prevalence, but that decline has not really continued and changed significantly since about 2007. Rural adults, such as the ones who live in the area where we did our work, have a higher smoking prevalence and less access to tobacco dependence treatment, which makes them a very vulnerable population. And the highest smoking prevalence is really among those who have a GED or less than a high school education. So this is consistent with the fact that low-income populations are really disproportionately affected by smoking. A little bit of background about the study state and the study county. We're located, as I said, in Kentucky. When I made this slide, we were third in the nation in adult smoking prevalence at 25.3%. Sorry to tell you that since I made this slide, we are back up to number one, tied with West Virginia, where we have been for quite a while. So clearly, adult smoking prevalence is quite an issue in our state. We have more than 8,000 deaths every year from tobacco-related diseases, and some of the leading causes of death are lung cancer and chronic lung disease. In the study county, which you can see highlighted in red on the little graphic, a county in far eastern Kentucky in Appalachia, and in this study county, the adult smoking prevalence is much higher than the state. It's 31%, and quit attempts and participation in cessation are much lower than the state average. So our research question is, what materials and messages are most effective in reaching rural smokers with tobacco treatment information? And we were really interested in a population-based strategy. We did our study in three phases. The first one was an exploratory pilot study, which used qualitative methods. And in conjunction with the public health folks there and with the cooperative extension agents, we identified people to form focus groups. So we did three focus groups of smokers and former smokers. They all lived in Lawrence County, which was our study county. Our N was 21, and we took that data and analyzed it using a codebook and Atlas II software, and we identified 10 major themes. Looking at our sample, the majority was female, which was not unexpected. The mean age was a little over 51. They were all Caucasian, also not unexpected in that area. A little better educated, really, than the county averages, because 81% had a high school education or higher, and we actually had one participant who was working on a PhD, so a little unusual for that area. 40% were employed outside the home. Mean age for smoked was a little over 14. Mean number of years smoked was 31. 86% had tried to stop smoking in the past, and almost 40% had not smoked in the past 30 days. These are our focus group themes that, as I said, we analyzed using Atlas II software, and they're listed in order of the priority. So, or the most data bits. So our number one theme was easy access to tobacco treatment programs. Number two, quitting with support of family and friends. Then faith, quitting for health reasons, freedom of individual choice, pride of place, which we're going to talk quite a bit about later on, big tobacco, meaning the tobacco industry, using meaningful messages when you're working with smokers, quitting because it's the individual's right time to quit, not because somebody else tells them to, and quitting for children. And just a couple quotes that I think kind of bring these to life. I want to just give you a couple of examples. For easy access to tobacco treatment programs, one of our focus group participants said, "The health department having that program where the patches were so cheap, that's wonderful to me that they cared enough about their citizens to do that." Another really common theme was faith. And one of the quotes was, "I know that when the good Lord up above feels that I'm ready to do it, he'll help me through it." Quitting for health reasons, an example of a quote is, "As I get older and my breathing is affected and I just had bronchitis for the third time, I know something's got to change." And then pride of place, which this really was kind of a surprise to us, and we were able to do really neat things with it. And the neat things that we did actually originated in this quote. "We have more talent in this area, in this river, up and down the river, the most beautiful quilts you've ever seen, some woodworking. I mean, there's real talent here." So that was phase one. Phase two was that we took all of the information and we took the themes and we actually created intervention materials using the focus group themes. So we did some printed materials, we did brochures, pushcards, we did a poster. We had some earned and some paid media. And from that pride of place theme, we had a quilt that was designed and made to represent the focus group themes by a local quilting group. Another part of this phase was that the cooperative extension agents learned brief tobacco dependence treatment interventions so that as part of their daily activities, they could use these brief interventions along with the materials that we developed. So they were kind of our hands-on folks. And then, of course, we did some formative and summative evaluation of materials. These are just two examples of our intervention materials. On your left is a copy of the poster. The poster ended up being very popular. And what we did when we created these materials was we actually used the pictures, with their permission, of course. These are actual pictures of our focus group participants along with their quotes. We designed each intervention piece around one theme or maybe two themes for consistency. So we actually used what they said, we used their faces, and we interspersed some facts to strengthen the materials. Thinking that if folks saw this message from their neighbors and people, they knew that potentially it would be more effective than hearing it from us. This is an actual picture of our quilt. I wish I could have brought it with me, but I was really afraid to. It's so valuable to the people in the area. If anything happened to it, I probably would not be able to go back to Kentucky. But it was, as I said, designed and created by the Lawrence County Quilt Guild based on the focus group themes. And what we did was we gave them the themes and we told them, you know, kind of interpreted using quotes what each one meant. And we allowed this group to actually design and create this quilt. So I know nothing about quilting. The folks on our team really don't know much about quilting. This came from the local quilting group. So, and I love the design. They did an applique tree in the center of the quilt, and that represents life in Lawrence County. There's log cabins in the corners. The edge is actually called Appalachian Trail, and they thought that reflected the history of the people living in that region. And it really incorporates a strong sense of pride that they have about the beauty of the land and their history and the arts and the friendliness of the people. And they have named, the official name of this quilt is Lawrence County Tree of Life. So that was an intervention that we didn't plan on when we went in, but ended up being something really exciting for us. This is where the intervention materials went over the course of about 6 months. They were displayed in the Cooperative Extension Office and the Health Department and the Library and Post Offices and Walmart. At community meetings, went out in some local newsletters. So over the course of 6 months, we had over 6,000 individual pieces of these materials, including the brochure that we made to go along with the quilt to explain the significance. About over 6,000 pieces of these materials distributed around the county, which represented about 38% of the county population. In addition to those, as I said earlier, we had some earned and paid media. We had 20 30-second radio ads, and we had a two-hour radio call-in show. The really interesting thing about these, I believe, is that we actually used the focus group participants. So I wasn't on the radio, nor was anyone else from the University of Kentucky, but the focus group participants who were featured in the materials were on the radio. The two-hour radio call-in show had to be extended because people kept calling in. So they actually extended it for a longer period of time. We took some of our materials that you saw and we made 8 half-page color ads that went out in a local free advertiser kind of newspaper. It went to everybody in the county. And then the quilt has been displayed continuously. It's in pretty high demand, and that's an example of some places that it has actually been displayed. So we were all excited about all of this, but really we had to have a way to evaluate it to determine what its effect may have been. So in order to do that, we did a population-based survey. It was done by the University of Kentucky Survey Research Center. They do wonderful work. The participants were chosen using random digit dialing, and if they'd been a resident of the county for 6 months and were an adult smoker, they were eligible to participate. We had almost 300 people to complete the survey. The response rate was 21%, which wasn't really surprising to us. And the data analysis was descriptive statistics and logistic regression. When you look at the sample that completed the survey, the majority of them were female again, were Caucasian, had at most a high school education, so they looked a little bit different from the focus group, had an annual income of $40,000 or less, and they smoked a pack or less a day. The average age was just a little younger than 50. Of the 5 intervention components, the one that was seen most frequently was the brochures. And then that they were followed by posters, and then the ads, and then the radio, and then the quilt. 2 of the outcomes we were really interested in were predictors of planning to quit and predictors of planning to talk to a healthcare provider about quitting. Our survey respondents told us that 64% of them were planning to quit smoking, and the ones who were more likely to plan to quit had tried to quit in the past, smoked fewer cigarettes a day, saw the posters more frequently, and reported seeing any interventions materials more frequently. 38% planned to talk to their health care provider about quitting, and of those, the other things that were associated with that were they had tried to quit in the past, they saw the quilt more frequently, and they saw the ads more frequently, and any intervention materials at all. So it was really good news to us that all of the interventions that we used had been seen by the participants. And the frequency of seeing those intervention materials was positively associated with both planning to quit and planning to talk to a healthcare provider about quitting. Little more in terms of discussion. The cooperative extension agents and the folks who work in the public health department really took ownership of this project. It really happened over a period of time. We went down, set up a time, and went down and met with these folks. And it kind of was our project in the beginning, and they were giving us feedback. But as the intervention materials were developed and they took a more active part, they really took a big role. They took complete ownership of the project. They have integrated brochures into their local tobacco dependence treatment program, and people who are enrolling in that program reported having seen the intervention ad in the paper, which made us feel good. There's a reported increase in physician referrals to the tobacco dependence treatment program. There is some evidence that participants gain self-esteem and recognition in the community. We found this out at a Christmas luncheon that we had for our participants. There was actually one lady who said that when she went to pick up her grandson at school, the principal asked her to autograph the brochure. And then another child came up to her and said, "I know who you are. I saw your picture. You're the lady who quit smoking." So we're thinking, based on that kind of community recognition, that participation in a project like this may actually serve as a relapse prevention tool for the participants. As I said, this quilt has become a source of great pride in the community. They call it our girl. That's just what they call it. They're very possessive. I actually took it to a local meeting where I did a presentation, and they were all concerned, you know, that it would be well taken care of and that they would get it back right away. One of the most exciting things for us is it was entered in a local quilt competition judged by their local arts council, and it won first place in the story quilt category. So that's a source of pride for us and a source of pride for them. And it has its own Facebook page now. The quilt actually was given to the folks in Lawrence County. It doesn't belong to us. It was part of our project. It's continuously displayed in the health department where the tobacco cessation classes are, and it moves around the county to festivals and those kinds of things. So in summary, culturally sensitive messaging, including use of the arts, is a data-rich strategy for the development of population-based interventions aimed at rural smokers. Use of personal testimonies with brief tobacco dependence treatment interventions combines two evidence-based strategies, which can be economically and effectively delivered by cooperative extension agents and local public health personnel, and such strategies may motivate smokers to quit, thereby reducing their tobacco-related health risks. And we hope that these study findings will guide a larger study so that we can look at the effects of this kind of outreach intervention on enrollment and attendance in tobacco dependence treatment, nicotine dependence, and quit outcomes. Questions? Comments? Yes. Yes.
Did you prepare them at all for that? Or
no.
Provide them with resources?
No, we didn't. We didn't. The radio call-in show basically had to do with their experiences as smokers and as former smokers, and that's pretty much what the focus groups were about. So we didn't do any tutoring. We didn't do any preparation. It was truly their community, their peers in the community calling in to discuss issues with them.
Is there another question?
This is just a comment. I just have to comment on the rich partnership that you developed and the way you work with people. The quilt and how it was developed and the way that the health department and others took over the project is pretty good evidence of how successful you were in making these partnerships and extending in the future. And I just have to congratulate you.
Thank you. I think that was one of the most wonderful things about the whole project. Absolutely.
Good. Secondly, I'm hoping you're going to do a follow-up. Let's do some longevity to go back in there and see how things are. I mean, this could be a fabulous long-term story.
Thank you. That is something we would really like to do. Another thing that we would really like to do that we've been talking about quite a bit, Ellen Hahn, my colleague, is in the back, and she works on this project as well. Another thing we'd really like to do is go back and talk with the participants now that it's been almost a year and see how this has really impacted them in their lives. Yes?
I just have to say, the thing that I liked the most was you're using your pictures in the brochure. And that, I don't know why I've never thought about that, but it is special. It's a beautiful idea, and I love your feedback. And so when you do your follow-up study, please make sure you find out how that does that really indeed impact, as you mentioned, it would stop in mind.
We will. We absolutely will. Thank you. Other questions?
I apologize for coming late, but
it's okay.
You really said who your funding source was?
I don't know if I can go back to our funding source or not. We were actually funded by a group at our university. It was internal funding. It was funded by a program called Health Education for Extension Leadership. And their money actually came from an earmark from Mitch McConnell. There it is. Who is our state senator?
I would encourage you to apply to NIH also, because they're really trying to develop a stream of research work if you're going back to follow up a year, 5 years, whatever it happens to be.
Okay.
And I'm with the National Institute of Nursing Research, so it would be something that we would possibly fund. We don't have the budget that NCI does, but
Great. Thank you very much. Other questions? Thank you.